Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. Once a year in Tanzania, on its world-forgotten islands, unvisited mountainsides and in jungles and brush with man-eating animals, the Sisters of Mary enter some of the most dangerous villages in Africa to recruit their incoming class. Kevin Wells joins us with the story. Very well-written, well-researched, and heartwarming, truly moving story. Kevin Wells is a former Major League Baseball writer, Catholic speaker, and author of Priest and Beggar, The Heroic Life of Venerable Aloysius Swartz. His best-selling book, The Priests We Need to Save the Church, was published by Sophia Institute Press in 2019. Kevin, great to have you on the program.
Mark, it's a pleasure to be on.
So, Kevin, I read this article with quite a lot of hope and enjoyment. So I want to start by asking you to tell us the story of what's going on in Tanzania, because this entire narrative is so foreign to us here in the United States of America that our listeners should at least have a context of what's going on there.
Thank you, Marcus. It is startling, and that's not too strong of a word. It's startling work that the sisters do in Tanzania. But just briefly, it's not just in Tanzania. It's in five other countries throughout the world. And what they do, and we'll just speak of Tanzania for the sake of the article I've written and why we're speaking today, is they truly go into the most dangerous places in the world. But in Tanzania, they go into places with man-eating lions. They go into towns with where genital mutilation is commonplace. They go into islands. Two sisters took a trip that took 27 hours to get to an island just to rescue a single child. They take motorcycles up mountains when the path ends. When the goat path ends, they'll go up mountains to rescue children. So it all goes back to a priest named Venerable Aloysius Swartz, who asked the sisters way back in the 1960s, "Hey, sister, the way we serve the poor is to wear a constant crown of thorns, and we must go after the most vulnerable." Mm-hmm. So all these years later, that's what the sisters do in six different countries.
So reading this, right, on the one hand, we really do enter into the plight of the sisters who embrace the greatest hardships for the sake of aiding the children born into these impoverished environments. On the other hand, they can't help everyone. Reading this also puts you into the mindset and the heart of the children who, if they don't, quote-unquote, make the cut, will not be able to receive the blessing of the education that they so desire. And that, again, is foreign to us in a land so replete with educational opportunity that it's so tremendously taken for granted.
That's it, Marcus. So as far as the educational aspect, yes. So every year, thousands, tens of thousands of children in the poorest communities will take a test. The sisters administer a test. So there's just shy of 400 sisters throughout the world. But what they'll do is they'll go into some of these towns that have experienced the violence of poverty, where great, I'll say diabolical things go on, witchcraft, abuse, in unspeakable ways, and they'll administer a test to classrooms full of children, many of whom have not eaten that day, many of whom wonder if they're going to eat the next day. So the kids know as they walk into these classrooms, because they've been told by their parents or people in the village, this is the key in a lot of cases for your very survival. It's remarkable, but these kids know when they pick the pencil up to take this test. And there's mathematics, there's English, there's science, there's history, there's religion. It's a rather short test. But if they pass this test, it does offer like a sacred sort of passport into these humble kingdoms of resurrection that are called boys towns and girls towns. Mm-hmm. The sisters will bring them in, and that's where for 5 years they're loved, catechized, educated. There's a daily mass, there's a rosary, it's these Lazaruses that come in that are reborn for 5 years and then graduate and go off as Catholic missionaries into a world that really starves for what they've been through.
Right. And because they have this unique opportunity coming from the background that they have to receive this education, they not only don't take it for granted, all of them go on to do wonderful things with the gift of the education they've been given.
That might be the best part. If that's not the best part, that they go on to run businesses, some become teachers, architects, lawyers, nurses, mechanics. You know, Marcus, what I've really been drawn to, and why it took me to Tanzania on a 3-week trip, I was drawn to this, and this is something that the Catholic Church must know. They must understand. These Sisters of Mary are sending these children out, and today there's about 20,000 kids at these boys' towns and girls' towns in Central America, South America, Mexico, Philippines, Tanzania. They send them out as authentic catechized Catholics,
right,
into the fire-breathing dragon of the youth culture, colleges, workplaces. You know, the youth that had dismissed God or dismissed the Catholic faith. Well, these kids come out and they say, no. I was saved in these communities. And a lot of it was because of the sacraments, is because of the sisters led me to know how to pray. And so they're really, I've come to believe, some of the greatest Catholic missionaries in the world, these 18, 19-year-old graduates.
Right. And the problem that we're facing, too, is in terms of a juxtaposition to the situation we have here, you know, we often have conversations about students in tertiary education in the United States of America, not only going into majors that make you scratch your head as to how is that going to serve the common good when you graduate. And it's an injustice that the university even offers those programs, you know, things like intersectional feminist dance theory. Like the only place you're going to get a job is in the university that offers that program to begin with. But there's this real hatred that's being inculcated at the university level for all that is good, true, and beautiful in Judeo-Christianity. On the flip side, you see what's happening here in Tanzania, and these children are so eminently grateful for the gift of a Catholic education that they're determined to go on and transform the culture, serve the common good, and build it up so that others don't have to go through the plight that they've gone through.
That's it. So, Marcus, what the Sisters of Mary understand is what they were told by Venerable Aloysius Schwartz, and that was this. The children must be taught catechism. You can even say Baltimore catechism. They must know the stories of the saints. They must understand the sacramentals. They must understand the Catholic faith as really Christ sort of spoke to Peter 2,000 years ago, because they cannot go into the world in 2024 with a tiny, hollowed out social justice Catholicism, mm-hmm, because kids will dismiss it and they'll get brought in. These kids will get brought in into the world. They'll get sucked into it. So they're really coached up into the gritty, untamed Catholicism that the sisters and Father Al want them to know. So I think it's one of the best untold stories out there.
And you've done a good job of making sure the story is at the very least beginning to get told, although the full context has yet to be flowered out for all of us here to greatly appreciate. So for all of our listeners right now, what are some of the things they can do to learn more or even help with the mission of these sisters?
Well, number one, I guess what I'll encourage here, just to get started, is I really would like your listener to understand this superhero named Venerable Aloysius Schwartz. Mm-hmm. I did not know about the Sisters of Mary until I wrote the book, The Priest and Beggar, a few years ago, and that's when I learned about the sisters, and that's when I fell in love. So that's the book, Priest and Beggar. Now, as far as helping the sisters and the children, you know, there's 20,000 kids, so they need Catholic support. They need prayers and support, and to understand the dynamism and the truth of what they're doing. So I would encourage your listener to visit worldvillages.org/poverty, and they can see different ways where they can help. Just it's just very briefly, just for one child to be supported for an entire month. That's food, that's medical, that's schooling, that's housing, that's everything. It's just $125 a month. That's one child a month, and the reason I think it's a pretty good investment is because these are the ones, these are the kids that are going out as full-bred Catholics that really want to sort of get into a world that has left the faith behind. So it's a pretty good investment on folks that want to tie to the sisters. They can't lose with these kids.
Right. Absolutely. Now, we don't have a lot of time left in this segment, Kevin, but you in your article, you also highlight a couple of stories, and there's a common theme here. But for the work of the sisters, these students, these young children, would otherwise be facing anywhere from hardcore poverty to even potential death. Like, literal death-defying blessings led them to be where they are right now. So share a little bit about that.
Well, it's the violence of poverty of Tanzania. I saw it. It's. I think it's safe to say, and I think it's fair to say, that it's a deeper poverty than, let's say, in Central America and Africa. Now, that I mean, in Mexico. That's not really fair to me to say, but I saw it. It's the type of poverty where you don't know if you're going to eat, not the next day, but the next two or three days.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. It's raw. It's politics is corrupted. There's just no jobs. There's witchcraft. The Muslim population is growing. There are gangs that are murdering Catholics in Nigeria, Ethiopia, where I was in Uganda, just above Tanzania. 47 school children were slaughtered, hacked to death. This is where the sisters go in these type of areas.
Right.
So this is real. I'll say this, Marcus. The Sisters of Mary have been kidnapped. They've been held up at gunpoint. They have been verbally and physically attacked. So the relentless work they do to save in these places in Tanzania, it's not just about lions. It's not just about boat trips way out to an island in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that when they go out to rescue these kids, well, they're stealing the goods of traffickers. They're stealing the
right.
goods of Muslims that are radical and against the Catholic faith. So they're sticking their neck out to bring these kids in to save them. So it's risk. It's risk with these sisters, what they do.
Right. Well, final word, Kevin. How can people reach you to get to know more about what you're doing?
Well, what I would do, again, I'd encourage them, number one, to go on to worldvillages.org/poverty to learn more about the work. And I've written quite a bit about the sisters' work because you know, I find them to be heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go on to kevinwells.org. But more important than me, please, I urge your readers to look at the work at worldvillages.org/poverty.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for not only making the time to be on the program today, but to talk about this truly necessary narrative that we need, especially here in the West and here in the United States. This is a startling, jarring, sobering story. My guest was Kevin Wells of the National Catholic Register. I'm Marcus Peter for Cresta in the Afternoon.